send your complaints, nude photos, letters, and death threats to Rick Emerson, care of Max 910, 0700 Southwest Bancroft Street, Portland, Oregon, 97239. Now back to the show.
Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100.
Yeah, do it!
Here's what's coming up. I'm unclear about Jolie. Does anybody know if Jolie's here or not?
She told me yesterday she was going to come in. I know today's her day off, though.
All right, but so she will be in at some... Okay, I'm all clear about that. And then there's the rumor she may be at the listener party tonight, but we always hear that rumor, so who knows? We're going to play... We'll play a dead or alive thing later on. We've got some listener pre-party passes to give away. Scott Daly's going to be here from filmfever.org. We'll do complete the sentence. We'll try to get the top five. And don't forget, we are coming up on Listener Party 8, which is tonight, about 9.5 hours away from now. Listener Party 8 tonight, 8 p.m., the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne, featuring a live nighttime broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show. Your chance to say farewell to the departing Sarah Dillon. And we'll be giving away a brand new TiVo for our Dead Celebrity Costume Contest. We've got a brand new Xbox for giving away for our old school video game face-off. It's all very exciting. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, back after an exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent, our good friend Peter Carlin. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Can I still refer to you as an Oregonian TV critic, or do I say on sabbatical, or what do I say?
Man, I don't know. I don't care. Yeah, Oregonian TV critic, but I'm on leave.
Currently on assignment?
Currently on assignment.
In your basement?
That's right.
So wait, so where you been, man? You've been doing your work on this this Brian Wilson book, right?
I am.
And that's is it not gonna? Can you talk much about it, or is that thing where you're sworn to secrecy by your publisher or whatever?
Nah, I'm just I'm not sworn to secrecy. I'm just sworn to uphold justice.
You're sworn to uphold rock
and truth in the American way.
Sworn to uphold the righteousness of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Now, is this all about? Is this just about the Smile record?
No. It's all about. It's the whole arc of the career. But my whole riff is that it's kind of in the larger context of American cultural history, my friend.
Fantastic.
And so I'm trying to connect the whole sort of beautiful, horrible saga of Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys to the larger, horrible, beautiful saga of America.
See, that's great, and I know this just sounds like big fan wanking, but as the rest of the cast of the Rick Emerson Show can tell you, that I can be tiresomely verbose when it comes to the subject of the Beach Boys. I mean, I can just go on and on and on about not only the Beach Boys themselves, but about their relation to Americana and to and obviously the whole saga of Brian Wilson himself is just so great in a sort of dramatic sense, because it's just, you know, he's nuts, and the whole childhood thing and his dad, and you know that he was this studying contradictions, that it was this bright, very sunny music, but it came from this dark place and all that stuff. So
and
then it goes all the way through. Does it go all the way through the release of the Smile record?
Oh yeah, baby!
Fantastic.
It's going everywhere
now. But I thought that when you interviewed him, that the hotel like lost all your interviews.
No. I have interviewed him several times in the past, and that was one time. But fortunately, I transcribed essentially the entire thing when the hotel lost some other stuff that I did, but then I managed to just kind of reclaim them.
So, I mean, I've only ever met him really briefly and not under optimum circumstances, but is it optimum or optimal?
With Brian, that's neither, usually. I don't know. I'm a writer. I don't know. I deal with the big picture, but the actual words and English itself,
not a detail,
I leave that to my employees.
Fantastic. See, I meant to overstay, I mean, 30 seconds I talked to him or whatever, but I always described it as like he just had these eyes that were like these burnt out flash bulbs, you know?
Yeah.
Is that an accurate... it's very hard to say without sounding like I'm slagging on the guy or just trying to, or speaking in these sort of, painting with too broad a brush. But I mean, is he, how aware and of everything is he, do you think?
Well, it depends. You know, you just never really know. I mean, I spent some time with him in Austin, Texas last month at South by Southwest. And when I was riding with him in his limo to this radio interview and then back again and talking to him and trying to interview him. And, you know, and sometimes he just seems perfect. I mean, I don't have the slightest damn idea, but let me just read you what's on my screen right now, which is this chapter that I'm writing. This is an interview I did with him actually a few years ago in his recording studio when he was living in St. Charles, Illinois. And I think this in some ways gets to the core of the Beach Boys and the Brian. And I don't mean to be tiresome here. I'll make this very brief. But it's me asking him about his relationship with his father. And he says, he scared me so much that I actually got scared into making good records. That's amazing, but it actually happened. And then et cetera, et cetera. Then he says, this is my favorite sentence. My relationship with my dad was very unique. And as we all know, Murray abused the hell out of those kids. And this is the sentence that I love. He says, He says, this is the first time I've ever said it to myself, but my dad blew my mind. And I said, in a positive way? And he said, yeah, very positive way. So positive that it scared me to death.
See, what the hell? See, what? I don't even know.
Well, that's the whole paradigm. I mean, that's the whole Beach Boys right there in a nutshell. It's like if you go back and you listen to the one tune I've sort of been taking apart because I think it's fascinating, is this tune Catch a Wave, which is one of the sweet early surfing tunes. And everybody thinks, like, oh, it's so carefree, you know, the Beach Boys, summer, fun. But then you listen to it and you realize this isn't – what they're talking about doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun because they're saying in that tune, which is just this beautiful surging surfing tune – says, like, don't be afraid to catch the, you know, to try the greatest sport around.
Right.
You know, but then they talk about, like, oh, but those who don't just have to put it down. Like, who are those people? Why, like, and then the whole thing about don't treat it like a toy.
Right.
Because these waves are going to come in, and as they say in another song, a 20-footer sneaks up like a ton of lead, and the crest comes along and slaps you upside the head. It's like, it's not all that much fun when you think about it. There's lots to be scared of.
Well, especially because waves weren't the only thing sneaking up and slapping you in the head when you were Brian Wilson.
Exactly. You had your dad doing that, and then a cast of thousands, ultimately, who would come to do that.
Is it true that his dad whacked him so hard that he lost the hearing in that ear?
It depends who you ask and when you ask them. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, which is another thing with the closer you get to this whole Beach Boys scene with all these people, the fuzzier it all becomes because none of them agree with one another and they all kind of hate each other. And so, you know, like for instance, later next month they're going to declare the childhood home of the Wilsons as a historical landmark in California. But but irony number one is that the house was torn down years ago to make room for a freeway.
Right.
So they're going to put the sign up on an overpass, which is lovely in some ways. But also, there are all these different factions. They want to have these different events that kind of, to mark it and celebrate it. But of course, none of the factions agree with one another, so they are planning these conflicting, contrasting events in different parts of the city. With different bands playing and everything, because they all loathe each other so severely.
Well, the thing that I was, Laura and I were watching, I mean, that VH1 biopic or biopic, whatever the hell they call it, the Beach Boys and American Family or something, and she's not nearly the Beach Boys fanatic that I am, and that was her, however many liberties they took with stuff, that was kind of her first introduction to the whole thing. But I, to her, and I said, I can go on and on about this forever, but the Beach Boys to me are perfect in that, in a poetic sense, in a very dark, dramatic sense, it's the perfect story because at the end, every single thing, I mean, no one gets away clean. Everything imploded. Everyone gets taken down to some degree. Everyone ends up the loser. Literally, because Brian gets shafted out of the publishing by his dad. Freaking Dennis becomes a drunk and a junkie and drowns. Carl gets cancer. Brian goes nuts. Mike Love is Mike Love. There's all these 15 different touring, feuding versions of the Beach Boys out there. And then, but the only thing that survives, literally, is the music.
Yeah.
And it's sort of perfect and poetic in a horrible way that literally every single person involved with the creation of that music, it's like they all were if you want to be really wacky about it, you can say that they all were sort of sacrificed at the altar of this music because they all lost everything in some ways, and that the only thing that survives is the songs.
Except for the fact that Brian Wilson is up and around, and he finally finished Smile, and he's playing it on the road, and it's really groovy. Well, and here's something else. You know, he's going to come play Smile here in Portland at the end of August.
Really?
At the Schnitz, yeah.
That's
heads up.
I saw that guy at the Aladdin. I saw him at the Aladdin on the, God, it was only like they said, like his ninth or tenth solo appearance ever or something. It was, I don't know, probably 3 years ago. It was fantastic.
No, it was 1999.
So, 99. Well, I gotta be careful because I could just sit and do this all. As you get closer, what's the target date for having this Brian Wilson book done?
It should be out in about a year.
Cool. Do you know what it's going to be called?
Well, right now it seems to be called Endless Summer, : The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson.
Cool.
But hey, let's talk about Sarah Dillon.
I was just going to say, so we can, as you get closer to publishing the book, we're going to sit and wank endlessly about the Beach Boys and American rock and roll as it ties into the American mythos, writ large. But we got bigger fish to fry today. So to say is Sarah Dillon's last day.
I'm so crushed.
She's going over. Well,
I know, it's been so long since you visited us, Peter.
Well, I know. It's because I've had nothing to talk about because I'm here in my basement.
But, she's moving into your realm, sort of, or your former realm. She's going to Coin 6, going to be doing the on-camera stuff there.
What kind of on-camera stuff, my friend?
Oh, my friend, I'm going to be doing the glamorous world of traffic reporting.
Sweet.
But
are you going to... I didn't know you flew a helicopter.
No, I'm actually not going to be in the helicopter. I'm going to be in the studio.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have a close personal relationship with their helicopter pilot, Mr. Jeff Petrie?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to go in on Monday and we're going to talk specifics. But
really?
Yeah.
Is Monday when the clothing consultant takes you out, the wardrobe consultant?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so...
And the makeup and the hair consultant.
But are they going to make you wear tight shirts and stuff?
Probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
Swing it.
Not on UPN. This is just the first step, though, because clearly, as I told her, she's doing traffic, and then it's weekend weather or whatever, and you know what? Then the first time somebody comes down with the flu, the first time some regular on Coin is, late to work, or they have a blown tire on the freeway or something, her big chance, just like Elizabeth Berkley in Showgirls.
Seriously. And everyone's thinking, and now that they got rid of Dan Rather and Bob Schieffer's doing that job temporarily, you know who's coming in next?
It's Sarah.
Traffic girl from Portland.
I'm saying. Well, especially because, Coin, I mean, and again, I don't want to speak ill of them, but Coin could definitely stand to bring in the youth viewership a little more.
You think?
I'm trying to be very circumspect with my description of this, but Sarah will bring a dynamic to the station that I think that they need quite a lot at this point.
A dynamic dynamic.
Yes. Now, do you know when your first, you train Monday, and then your first day probably isn't until...
Yeah, I have a week of training, and then they're shooting for not this Monday, but the following Monday.
Really?
On the air. Mm-hmm.
Did you take the drug test? Did they give you a drug test?
Do you have to take a drug test?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I'm all right, though.
All right. Well, because they don't drug test anybody here. Like at Entercom Portland, they don't drug test anyone because they know no one could pass it, I think.
What was that?
Was that you?
That wasn't me.
Was that us? Oh, I'm sorry. Please forget that. Our radio expertise is already waning now that Sarah's got one foot out the door. Things are already...
Is somebody taking her place?
Things are starting to fall apart. We're in what the management calls
a
state of flux.
Really?
We're in a transitional stage right now.
Oh, wait. Actually, what you should say is that you're doing a national search.
We're doing who will be the next Rick Emerson producer? Be listening. Who will stay? Who will go? Who will win the grand prize? And then you cut to a bunch of snippy contestants, like sitting off in an on-camera and looking at the camera.
They're all living now in a mansion up in the West Hills, right?
Yeah. Seriously. Up there, taking time in the personal confession booth, looking at the camera, saying, and then I could not believe the drama that I was getting from that guy, which I do not need, because I am here to win. Fantastic. I know we're under the gun and all that. I know you get back to writing and stuff, but you're not doing the TV thing for the Oregonian right now, but is there any brief TV thoughts to share with us? Is Arrested Development canceled? Do you know?
No, it's not canceled, and I kind of suspect it'll be back, but it probably has a lot to do with their development and if something just super hot comes up. But I think also that... they may believe that they don't want to alienate the critical establishment at this point.
Right, right.
And that guy that's taking over from Gail Berman, Peter Liguori, is, I think, has developed some quality shows.
Yeah.
So he may feel like, what the hell? It probably doesn't lose that much money, but they're not really, it probably even makes money, but they probably feel like, well, hell, we don't want to just make a certain amount of money. We want to make buckets and buckets of money.
Well, yeah, you don't measure it in profits, but in terms of percentage profit growth, that's the problem. So it's not that, it's like we make 5%, but we could be making 10. What is your take on the American version of The Office?
I saw the first couple episodes when I was kind of in my final days before I took off on leave, and I thought, it's like if you watch the British one, I think you get a little spoiled. I have a heart because that was so perfect.
Sure.
Steve Carell is not quite the somehow just doesn't, I mean, I don't know, for whatever reason, I didn't feel like it was all coming together in the way that I would have hoped. But then, to be fair, I haven't watched it in months, so it's not fresh in my mind.
To me, it's like listening to a really good cover band, like a Kiss tribute band.
Yeah.
You know, where it's good, but it's like Ricky Gervais is just the hardest of acts to follow.
And the guy that got to play the Tim role, I don't think he's named Tim anymore.
No.
Wasn't quite cutting it for him.
No, he's kind of a block. He has no charisma.
He doesn't have that kind of quiet sort of that the Tim guy was Martin Freeman, I think his name. Just the way his eyes would flicker toward the camera, like, are you believing this? Was just perfect.
It's true.
His timing. And it was very, very subtle, but it was just, it kept you sort of, like, grounded with, the more bizarre Gareth and David Brent got.
Well, and subtlety is not really the American strong suit, which is, I think, that's maybe the one failing of the show, is that it seems, as Tim Riley here said, a lot of times it seems like they're acting. In other words, it feels like a sitcom sometimes. It's so sort of over the top.
Yeah.
Especially Steve Carell, whereas with Ricky Gervais, you never doubted for a second that he was that guy.
Yeah.
At any time. So.
You know who almost would have been better at it is the guy on one of my other favorite shows is The Shield, which of course is on now.
Right.
And in the middle of yet another gut-wrenchingly wonderful
season. Oh, man, The Shield is so great. How great is Glenn Close
on
that
show? She's fantastic.
Oh, she's unbelievable.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So there's that. The other, my new pick hit show, which I really kind of am growing to like quite a bit, is ABC's classy, stylish detective show, Eyes.
Oh, which I've heard about but I've never seen.
It's quite good. It's TV. It's not going to change your life. It's primetime TV, but for primetime TV, it's funny and sharp and cool and fun to watch.
Now, but you never told me who from The Shield should be on The Office.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not going to. No, the guy that plays Dutch.
Yeah, it's exactly
Jake
who I was
Arnes,
thinking of.
I think is his name.
It's exactly who I was thinking of.
And just because you got the sense that he, I mean, I don't know how he is with comedy, but he's got that kind of borderline loathsome thing that could be groovy, you know, like that he could be loathsome and yet sympathetic.
And he sort of, and he gets that, he does that thing of like kind of he's feeling his way in the dark on certain issues.
Yeah.
You know? I'm with you on that, my friend. Well, you got to stop by and come hang in the studio with us, especially as you get further along in your book, like we can talk about all things rocking.
Yeah, no, I would love to. And when it's a year from now, when I'm selling the book, believe me, I will try to be as inescapable as possible.
Well, you can whore here as you have never whored before.
I'll be in your studio every damn day.
Absolutely.
We could do like a telethon.
Pointing at the tote board and
right.
It's not coming in fast enough.
Yeah, exactly.
The little children still can't walk.
We'll bring in my children to beg.
With it rattling a cup. You have to watch Sarah Dillon when she debuts on Coin Six in a few weeks as well.
And then Sarah Dillon will have to wear like a button that advertises the book.
Completely.
So she'll lose her job over it.
Wear a big shirt with your face on it.
But it's all about giving, isn't it?
I could do that for you, Peter.
Giving back.
Well, honey, I hope you have a good life over there in the Bitcoin Tower.
Thank you.
It's, they're merciless in TV. The moment the focus group doesn't like your face anymore, they kill you. Or they tell you you need surgery, and then they kill you.
So have fun with that, Sarah.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously. But then you get to jump into another show, to another channel, and sign a bigger contract. So.
All right, Sarah Dillon, leaving us for Coin.
Thanks for the words of encouragement.
After today, going on a positive tip there with Peter Carlin.
Well, I'm just trying to toughen you up a little bit, but it's going to be good. It's going to be beautiful.
We're very proud of you.
And we knew you back when.
We can skip the velvet rope someday when you're at the E party for the Oscars.
She can pretend she's never met us before.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah. No, I'm afraid not.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Right. Yes, I know. Bye-bye, honey.
Peter Carlin, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All righty.
All right, there you go. Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen. All right, back after this. Scott Daly, Jolie, listener pre-party tickets. Don't go anywhere. We return momentarily to Rick Emerson's show.
You could reach out and smack him. Rick Emerson, live and local, only on Max 910. Talk radio for guys.
We all love. call your cell phone, and you can't not answer it. You can't not answer it.
I won't not answer my cell phone.
All right, there you go. So Rick Emerson show from our friend Steve there. There's I'm a Sarah Dillon fan. That's the demo version. Apparently there's some album version of that being made somewhere.
Really?
So, well, I don't know. I guess it's like a garage demo. He's working on some more polished version of that song. Let's welcome from filmfever.org our good friend Scott Daly joining us now. How are you, sir?
Well, you know, who is it, the Sarah Dillon fan, first of all? And number two, I'm really annoyed. On the way here, I think one of those damn photo radar lights, stoplight things got me.
Yeah.
I was going through an intersection, and yellow light, and all of a sudden, strobe lights went off. It's like, no! So,
man, about every week I get one of those Delara in the mail.
Do you really?
She's the worst driver. She's the worst driver. Lara's the worst driver on earth. She gets hit by the man all the time. She gets tickets constantly.
I'm so annoyed.
She flips people off. She starts fights. She road rages. It's a miracle she never hit anybody. So we get the photocop things in the mail all the time.
I was nabbed by one of those like 4 years ago, and I never saw it in the mail. So I'm hoping this one.
The best part
won't
is when you go to court
either.
Sometimes, like if you go to traffic court and there's some guy in there trying to claim that it's not him, and it's always the photograph that like clearly is him.
Right.
I always tell the story of my friend Martin, who's bald, glasses, goatee, gray. Shirt open, big gold chains, bright pink shirt. And it's like, so here's the picture of the car.
Right.
Bright pink shirt, open, gold chains, goatee, bald, glassy. It's not me. I don't know who it is, but it's... Yeah, you're lying. I have no idea.
And it was one of those things where I was like scratching my nose. Or getting, so it's totally. Like, oh, great. That's just going to be lovely.
I'd like to thank our friend Ruby, who is sending us this month's our new issue of Gothic Beauty Magazine. Nice. Just arrived. That's fantastic.
Very good.
Excellent.
Rick loves the Gothic girl.
I really do. Who doesn't?
No, that's true.
Speaking of which, you know, anybody know if, what's his name, if Gustav's going to be there tonight? Oh, hello.
He wrote me and he said that he was going to.
He wants to be my friend.
Haven't seen Gustav in a while.
Good times. I'm sorry.
Have you met, you've obviously met Gustav's wife.
I have.
Sunday's great.
I have. Yes. All right. Let's see. What are we doing here? Oh, let's get this call and then we'll welcome Jolie to the Rick Emerson Show. Later on, we'll play Dead or Alive. Because I've got no talent or originality in any way for pre-party tickets. Lauren, this is Lauren Heave, the Playboy Bunny outfit. How are you, sir?
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Are you there?
Sure.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to miss Sarah, I think, more than anybody.
Have you been drinking?
No, I have not been drinking my Jack Daniels every time Sarah talks in the air, but then I got tired of just drinking it when she's... I don't know.
That's a big yes.
I am not drunk.
Are you under the influence of something else?
I'm funnier when I'm drunk.
I have errands to run.
All right, yeah. Okay.
No, this sucks, man. I'm going to miss Sarah. I mean,
now, why are you not going to be there tonight?
Lauren, you're not going?
Well, you know, I was going to go up to Billy Reed's and try and get some VIP tickets because I never did win my prize.
Which is what? What are you talking? What is this?
My bunny suit prize, man.
That's not true. I had Jesse, the promo girl, who actually left. Who she's actually no longer with us.
Right. I got a call from some guy, and it was like a package of like snowboarding tickets and all. I mean, right. Do I really look like I snowboard? I'd be like, you know, Clyde water skiing.
So,
sorry, Clyde. No, I love you, man. You're awesome.
There you
really.
Go. All right, there you go. All right. Well, so they offered you snowboarding tickets.
Right. And so I figured, well, you know, I'll just go up to Billy Reed's the other day, and I'll try to get some VIP tickets so I can at least come for the beginning and give my drunken bon voyage to Sarah and all that, but never made it up there. I was too drunk.
Okay, so
the only thing holding you back is the fact that you don't have VIP tickets for a thing that you don't actually need tickets for.
First of all,
no.
There are no. Okay, well, let's stop. First of all, there are no VIP tickets for the party. The party at the Viper Room,
I'm talking about the pre-party.
Okay, let's all stop and get a hold of ourselves. Couple things. A, people ask if there's a cover. There's no cover at the listener party. People ask if there's a VIP section. There is no VIP section. We did that once years ago, and it worked out badly.
Well,
so there's
yeah,
no VIP
section.
The only VIP section is that there's a little section where we shove the sales, like a little area where we, like a ghetto for the sales weasels, so they don't touch the rest of the customers.
No, but here's my thing. I was going to come to the pre-party because I'm going to the beach for my brother-in-law's 30th birthday tonight.
Oh, what the brother 30th
hey,
birthday?
Bring him to the
bring him along.
Though I am not drinking, of course, and I will not be drinking and driving.
So you're choosing family over us?
It's not my choice.
That hurts.
I'm hurt.
I'm pee-whipped.
Aren't you? Aren't Isn't Rick your family? Isn't Sarah your
family?
Really?
I mean, where are your family
where
are your family of choice?
You know, actually, this is really similar to my family because, you know, Rick never responds to any of my emails. Sarah's leaving. You know, I mean, this actually is a lot like my family.
That's fantastic.
You don't get the prizes you want.
Clyde, you know, he touches me and then he pushes me away.
He teases you.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right. I'll put you back in the box here. Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. That's Lauren the Bunny Man.
That was an interesting plea for VIP tickets.
Please.
I don't snowboard.
Snowboarding tickets. Guys, the size of a small moon. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Corporate Accounts Payable.
The inner workings of the female mind revealed. It's time for another edition of How Chicks Think. Max 910. Girls don't like boys, girls like cars and
money. Let's go! Jolie joins us now for How Chicks Think. How are you?
Well, first of all, I don't get my own song, and then I wake up this morning and I don't have the $200 that I thought I had once I dreamed that it was in my pocket. I had a dream last night that I found
$200
in my pocket, and then I woke up and I was like, Ham, I was going to go shopping and buy new clothes and shoes and stuff. Now I'm really depressed.
Okay. It should be noted, the guy who did the Sarah Dillon song, Steve, we just said I'm a Sarah Dillon fan. Now, he did send us a Jolie song. Would you like to hear it?
Well, I don't think so. It's probably going to be
Let's
mean
go ahead and play
and
it.
Rude
Hold
and
on.
Everything.
Here we go. Here's the Jolie song. There you go.
Oh, now I feel much better.
There you go.
Who did the anti-discrimination song? Was that Suicidal
Tennis? No, the anti-procrastination
song.
Oh, that was S.O.D.
Suicidal?
No, it was S.O.D. That was Stormtroopers for Death.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Kind of reminds me of anti-procrastination.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. So okay, never say we didn't give you
that. There's your song.
Oh, whatever.
All right.
It wasn't even from you anyways.
You just like
to torture me.
It comes through me. I am the conduit. I am the vessel. Not unlike Father Merrick in the Exorcist.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we do the question?
No.
Are you going to be at the party tonight?
That's why I'm here.
Are you going to be at the party tonight?
If I can get my taxes done, I guess.
Your taxes? It is the 15th.
It's the 15th.
Duh. They're due today. But you know that if it weren't for the last minute, tons of things would not get done.
Yeah, that is true. Let's talk about that.
I owe a lot of money, and I don't want
to. You live in Multnomah County?
Yes, I
do. Yeah, well, see, you know what I'm talking about right there.
I'm trying to get out.
Man, and I'm writing everything off I can possibly think of. I'm taking advantage of, like, every tax break, like every loophole. I'm having my tax person look for every way I can weasel out. I mean, every justifiable.
I don't have a tax person. if I cut off both my limbs, I could get a tax break. Did you see that?
I don't understand.
I got
because you wouldn't be able to fill out the form or something.
No, I got this program that you just put on your computer, and it takes you through all these different things that you can deduct.
Did it say if you cut off both your limbs?
If you have the loss of two limbs, both limbs. So that wouldn't be just one arm. That would be two arms.
That didn't really seem worth it.
That's kind of yeah.
Just get
ridiculous?
A second job. All right, so
then you'd have to pay more taxes, Rick.
All right,
you have your arms.
My tax is looking for every possible way to save me money in my taxes, and Sarah can tell you, like, and I will write off anything. Anything doesn't matter, you know.
You have the receipts?
Oh yeah, no. I'm a compulsive receipt saver.
Oh.
I pay for everything on my plastic, so I've got a backup receipt too. And I'm like, we're at lunch, you know, we're talking about whatever, talking about the, movies or something, or, you know. And I'm like, well, let's talk about work for 15 seconds. So there you go.
Oh,
business lunch.
Those.
I totally do all that. But I'm looking, at, you know, they break it out and do you know, there's federal tax and this, and then there's that goddamn TriMet tax, which you don't have to pay.
Nah, I'm not in Columbia County.
Again, like a whole separate form I have to pay, let's say $3 or something.
You're kidding.
$9
a whole separate thing for a TriMet?
Yeah, but it's like less than $12. It's like $11 or something I gotta pay for TriMet.
Wow.
It's like a separate TriMet tax of like $10.98 or something.
Oh, how man, weird. I don't know.
Is
you
it
know,
just the three counties?
But then I get the Multnomah bill, which
what
is just
that?
Like
It's
supposed to be for school and old people.
It's like a straight mugging is what it is.
So
that's what it is.
MoMA has its own separate income tax?
Yes.
And we have to go through it for one more year. We have one more year that we have to get jacked on it until we get a chance to vote it down.
It's forever to pay it off.
Sucks. Yeah, like a whole separate thing. We're like, here's your TriMet thing. It's like, this one is like X amount, and the federal one is X amount, and then the TriMet one, literally, it's like I have to write a check or something for like $11.12.
I don't think that's on my tax thing, so I probably won't pay it.
Yeah, not any sense. All right.
Don't say that on the air, Joel.
Yeah, just I'm not going to pay these taxes. I believe I'm just going to avoid this. Live in a small compound. Should I get this, or should we get the question first, Kyle?
I don't think Kyle's paying attention.
He's looking over
his phone. He doesn't have his headphones on.
Oh,
I do.
Should I? Kyle just had to look like a really tired gerbil.
What?
Should I get this first or should I get the question first?
No, it's actually a good question.
All right. Michael, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I assist you today?
Yeah, just coming to my first listener party tonight.
Well done.
Have the passes for the pre-party.
Yes.
And wanted to know what brand of vodka Sarah prefers.
Oh, boy. I don't care. Anything on like the second to bottom shelf. That's often. No, I don't really care. I'll drink anything.
I had some people tell me that it was a sin because you do the vodka tonic. Somebody told me that it was a sin to water down Grey Goose, though. They said if you get Grey Goose, it's a sin to put tonic in it.
Was that Brad the car guy?
No.
He drinks his stripe.
No, it was like some other dude.
I really am a fan of Grey Goose or, you know, Absolut.
You should be. Have you seen how much that crap costs?
Yeah.
Spendy.
I bought some of those. One of our salespeople closed a large deal for the program. And I was like, hey, let me know if I can ever do anything for you. And it's like, as a favor, which is a thing you say not really meaning it. And then
expecting it to happen.
And then he whips out a post-it note and he's like, buy me a bottle of Grey Goose vodka this size. Go to this liquor store. Here you go. I'm like, all right. You know, okay. It's like, what am I going to do? I've already agreed to do it. This is unbelievably expensive. So I'm used to buying everything right off the bottom shelf.
It's good vodka, though.
Where the Admiral Nelson spiced rum is that we're big fans of. So, all right.
We're such cheap bastards.
I would agree with the watering down of the Grey Goose, though. I mean, it's one thing to make a good vodka tonic, but... You know. Yeah.
What's your favorite flavor of Mad Dog, Sarah?
What kind of Night Train?
Oh, God, I can never drink Night Train.
What about Boone's
Hill? I like Old English 800. High Gravity.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
What have you been drinking with Ice Cube?
Well, my D girls Williams? And I, we drink that in Bremerton all the time.
Of course you drink it in Bremerton. In Bremerton you drink it. Of course, there's no...
Nothing smooth as old.
You think I could bring my beer bong?
I'm more of a St. Ives man myself. What?
Do you think I could bring my beer bong to the party?
That's a question I don't have the answer to, Charlie.
Yes.
Do whatever you want.
You could make like some sort of competition out of it.
I haven't done a beer bong.
A beer bonging competition? That's the best thing ever.
Can you beer bong with
oldies? On your last day,
I used to do pretty good at that. I'm better at keg stands, though.
What's a keg stand? I don't know.
Oh, it's where people hold you up and you drink right out of the tap.
Oh, but you get naked, too, though.
What?
Where have you done this, Joel?
My friends at parties we had, we did naked keg stands. I didn't know it was that original of an idea.
What kind of parties were these? Are these for
you're like
photos?
Touching each other and you're holding them up
just
and
the leg.
Yeah.
So the stuff is just hanging there.
Then what's the point of you
hanging out?
Then what's the point of you being nude if they're just touching your legs? Is the nude just an extra bonus, like a visual bonus?
I don't know. Sometimes people get too drunk that they take their clothes off. And
yes, apparently so.
Things get a little out of hand, and that's just the way the party goes.
I've never heard of a kickstand.
I'll bring pictures of you.
And shotgunning?
I'd like those.
Not of me.
The shotgunning where you put the hole in the bottom.
Yeah, shotgunning where you take a key.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Totally. Yeah,
kegstands are fun. We should have a keg party.
That's what's great about cheap beer like Hams or Pabst in a can. It's perfect for beer bongs and for shotgunning.
I mean, it's down like that.
It's down like that.
For those nights when it's all about quantity.
That's right.
We don't actually care about taste or flavor.
It's all about the number of beers
really wants
you can put down.
Nobody wants to beer bong like the oatmeal stout. You know?
Oh, God. You miss beer bong like Guinness?
Black Forest Amber Ale. Yeah.
Maybe that could be the competition to see who could actually do a nice
beer.
I think that's a bad
that's a recipe okay. for a disaster.
Like a whiskey bong.
Are we going to do the question?
A bad idea. No.
No, we're not.
Beer bong, a bottle of Jack.
Man.
That no, don't laugh, man. Oh. We had some kid in my high school that beer. He didn't beer bong, but he pounded an entire bottle of them.
Oh.
And it was like old granddad or something.
Yeah, grandpa's cough syrup.
Yeah.
That burns.
It was something like that, a wild turkey or old crow or something.
Oh, God.
The whole bottle right down, right to the emergency room. These are the best years of your lives, kids. No, we're not going to do the question.
So I came in here on my day off for when I could be finishing my taxes.
Hey, you brought up the nude keg stand, so.
Well, you can hang around. You can stay around if you want, but we'll have to put up the actual question until next week. You're more than welcome to stay. Oh, what? How many times can you watch some bad Candace Bergen movie on Lifetime?
Kiss TV only gets so it's all right.
All right, we'll stay here. We'll have to push the
Megan's thing bringing cupcakes, right?
Really? Is Megan bringing cupcakes?
That's
true.
Word.
That's fantastic. Yeah, all right. Freaking fantastic.
So I can smash one in your face.
you've got some weird issues. There's a whole lot of weirdness in you. What is that all about?
I find it interesting with her is the suddenness of it all. Basically going on great, and also she's talking about smashing cupcakes in your face.
Or like
totally
blah, nude beer bong, or exactly. beer stand, or whatever the hell. Whatever
would you
the
like
hell
to
that
come
is.
To one of my parties sometime?
I think, I would have said no, but I think I may have to reassess that now. I think they may be, are your parties up at 39th and Powell? Is that what we're talking about?
No, no.
There's nudity and kegs involved.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
nowhere
what the
in the Southeast.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay, Jen Lane.
It's Northeast.
Yeah, it's all about the
Northeast. That's so much better.
Northeast representing.
See, it's all about Lombard. Yeah,
woo! Lombard and Interstate.
That's like way north.
I live in the classy district near the Animal Control Center.
That's not funny.
Near the detox building.
Where Sarah and I were taking that cat that she had, and you just see a larger number of dudes just leaning against poles, like with paper bags in their hands, wetting themselves, just slowly sliding towards the ground.
That's downtown, Rick.
And you know that's on Hawthorne, too.
Well, that's true.
It's all over the East Side.
Yeah, it really is. All right. Okay, well, let's break here. When we come back, we've got a top five to do, and we'll play Dead or Alive for pre-party tickets. Don't forget Listener Party 8. Listener Party 8 happens about 8 hours, 45 minutes from now, about 9 hours from now.
And the pre-party starts in 7 hours. God.
I haven't even finished my costume yet.
I didn't tell you. My little sister's coming up tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that, Kyle. Yeah. Kyle's doing like a little fist punch over there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know what she's talking about.
But my little 22-year-old sister?
I've never met Sarah's sister.
Have you?
Oh, she's adorable.
You've never met Sarah's sister?
I have not.
Yeah.
She's...
Let's keep it low.
Rick.
Turn down the lights.
She's a...
Hey, Sarah's sister.
Hey there. How are you? She's like a hot...
Aren't you expecting a baby, Scott?
Well, that's why do you think he's, you know... So, I mean, well, there does come a point where your wife's cranky enough she doesn't even want to talk to you, right?
God, I hope she's not asleep.
I'm just saying.
No.
There's your house, and then there's your vacation home.
I love my wife. She's 7 months pregnant, yes, but, you know.
I'm just saying, so maybe home is not the most pleasant place to be.
I'm actually referring to Kyle's reaction. As soon as Sarah said that, his face lit up like a Christmas tree.
No, we can't talk.
Megan's rest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She can't hear you, though.
Oh, yeah, well... True, yeah.
So okay, Kyle's girlfriend is outside with the cupcakes.
Yeah, let's
Speaking
go, let's
of cupcakes,
break.
Though, so Sarah's hot little sister will be there tonight. Who looks...
You are an ass.
No, I was right there. I had to do it.
She looks like Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet looks just like Kate Winslet.
A little bit like me, except she has, like, short, dark hair.
She's how do they put that? What do the coin people call you? Do they call you edgy? Or,
No, they call me Spunky.
Our spunky new traffic reporter.
Are
you going to keep or drop the X?
Oh, I have to drop
it. No, they're going
to
make her drop that.
That's too bad.
Kind of a, you know, you have to go back to your slave name over there on TV. So your sister Heather, who is adorable and cute and very funny and smart and all that, and who is a writer and so forth, now she's going to be there tonight. Good times.
Yes, she's coming this afternoon.
Is she dressing up too?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. But she'll be at the pre-party, too.
Good times. Hey, is Megan in the room?
She is.
Hi, Megan. Kyle was just talking about how much he loves you. You are the only girl for him.
He would just say, I love Megan so much.
She is the cutest thing in the world.
Other girls are dead to me.
That's why he won't let her come to the party.
There are other girls?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought there was only Megan.
Good answer. That's a great answer. Do you think about other women? Baby, I didn't even know there were other women. That's fantastic right there. Yeah.
There's no other women besides you, baby.
All right, that's totally what it is. Is she bringing us a cupcake? Yeah. We should know that Kyle's girlfriend, Megan, is adorable. She is...
oh, my gosh, a whole plate of them.
She's got a little plate of cupcakes.
She is the most adorable thing ever.
All right.
Wow.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
She's like the little den mother. Because she got me an Easter gift, too.
She is.
Valentine's Day gift.
She is very, and I mean this in the best way. I don't mean this as a pejorative. I mean this in the best way. But she is very maternal, in a way.
She is.
She is clearly the stable factor
in
the life of Kyle.
Which begs the question, what the hell is she doing with Kyle?
Well,
I mean,
It's like when you see a dog missing a leg on the street, and you feel really bad for it. You want to take it home, because you know she's going to get hit by a car if you leave it alone. She's going to be dead, filled with fleas. So you got to go home and take care of it.
Rotting with maggots.
You want to take it home and give it some soup? That's kind of the Megan Kyle dynamic.
Kyle needs guidance.
That's also the Laura cupcake. Rick dynamic, by the way.
So. Oh, you guys need to come and have some of these.
All right, excellent.
So good.
I want to take a break and have some cupcakes.
All right.
Let's do it.
We're all in third grade. And then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
We figure out women so you don't have to. Send your questions to How Chicks Think at rickemerson.com. Max 910.